This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
We see all these symbols of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. But here's the question that we need to ask ourselves. What is the Holy Spirit? And for those of us that's been done a bit of Bible school and we've read up, and we know the Lord quite well, we know that the question actually is, who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit to you? Some of us, we understand a father concept. We understand that God is a father, and we either see that as a good or a bad thing because of our experience on earth, because we had a good or a bad experience with our own fathers. A savior, that's a friend, Christ, Jesus. It was a man who walked on the earth. So still a lot easier to work through. But then there's the one called the Holy Spirit. And for most of us, it's a clutch out moment. We're not too sure. Ons weet nie waar die bal lê nie. All right? So it's one of those awkward things, and it's one we don't speak enough about. And so I'd like to start, mostly when we like to speak about the Holy Spirit, and especially with the millennials, we like to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. And then you'll often see, you know, come see Prophet so-and-so, and he's going to prophesy over your life, and he'll line everyone up, and everyone will get a personal prophecy, and that's brilliant, that's amazing, and that's really important. We've done it here before as well. It's great. But our focus is so much on what I can get from God. It's about, oh, there's the power. And it's all about a power focus of God. And what it steals is something I'd like to speak about this morning. So as normal, I'm going to look at Scripture a little bit differently. I'm going to look at the Holy Spirit a bit differently with the Scriptures that we're going to work through. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and reveal yourself to us this morning. Come and show us you. Lord, we repent of so often boxing you in so that we can understand you. Boxing you in so we can control you. Box you in so we can feel comfortable. But Lord, we pray that you'll just come and unwrap that box and come and open up and show us parts of yourself we've never seen before. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're kicking off with Matthew 25, a very, very famous story in Scripture. And I'm reading from the ESV. Then the kingdom of heaven. So Christ speaks often about what the kingdom is like. And one of these stories he tells is this one. And the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered them, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins returned. The other 5 came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Now what's important about the Scriptures is to recognize how many of these were virgins? All 10. It wasn't some were and some weren't. They were all 10 virgins. They were all waiting for the return of Christ. All of them. Can we go to the previous slide again? They're all waiting for Christ. And they all grew drowsy and slept. Doesn't it feel like so often that we wait for Christ and we wait and we wait, and when we get saved we're very excited because Christ is coming today or maybe even tomorrow, and we have the zeal and we're amped and it's like Jesus and it's awesome, and we go on missions. I was making jokes with Stefan at the back there. Back in the day in the 90s when we went on shofar missions, we did those dances, right? 90s. If you went around, praise God, you are blessed. And we did this weird stuff, and the men couldn't dance at all. And we went to India, where they dance. You know, have you seen the movies? Have you seen Bollywood? That's all they do. And we went to go dance for them, which made no sense to me because we can't dance and they can. and we were really, but we were excited because Jesus is coming. And 20 years later, not so excited anymore. 20 years later, a little bit drowsy, but falling asleep. But here's the thing, will we be ready? And as we know, the oil represents the Holy Spirit. Will there still be space in your life for the Holy Spirit when Christ returns? Will Christ still be there? Will the Holy Spirit still be operating in your life? Will you have enough oil? And that's what the scripture points to. I love the 12th hour. It's one of my favorite things. It speaks about zenith. Zenith is the highest point that something can reach. It's the highest point the clock can reach. The zenith hour at 12 o'clock. For some of us, we're in that 12 o'clock hour. We've heard the cry of Christ and we're ready. We're waiting. For some of us, we're still sleeping. But that's another sermon for another day. That's not what I want to focus on. Let's not go there. I'm going to scroll. I've got way too much on my heart to share this morning. Will your lamp be full when Christ returns? Or will you find that you'll have all the toys, all the guitars and all the speakers and the cars and the nice house and all these things? But when you come, hey, whoa, I missed this. Jesus, Christ goes, I don't know you. I don't know you. Your life got consumed with other things other than the Holy Spirit. Because we were foolish and not wise. This is beautiful scripture. Story about the 10 lepers. And we find that in Luke 17. And what's happening is, Jesus is preparing himself. He's on his way back to Jerusalem. He's on his way back to the cross. And so he's working his way back through. And so he's obviously got a lot in his mind. He knows what's coming. And he has this interesting intervention. As Christ continued towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They recognize Christ. They know who he is. They've heard the stories. They even call him Master. So here's the thing about a leper, and I know we know it, so I just want to, for those of you who've never heard this before, a leper in those days was the worst of the worst. And they were seen as unclean. You were never allowed to touch a leper. So lepers, no one's given them affirmation. No one's greeted them at the door at the church. No one's given them a high five, a handshake, or a hug. For many years, no one's even looked at them. And whenever a leper walked, he had certain clothing that identified him as a leper. And more so than that, every time he walked into a city or near a city, he has to scream out, "Unclean, unclean." We see that in Deuteronomy. Unclean, I'm unclean. So that everyone can get away, because you can't ever touch a leper, because if I touch the leper, I'm unclean. That's the life they lived. We see that they're Jews, they're a mixed crowd. They're Jews and they non-believers, and the non-Jews as well, together. Because that's all fellowship they have, is the 10 of them. That's it. So they're treated as absolute outcasts. Let's carry on reading. He looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Hang on. I didn't put this in, but it's really important to know this. One of the signs when John asks, when John the Baptist sends his disciples to Christ to ask if he's the Messiah, because John started, he started doubting. Christ quoted a few things that he had done that Scripture said he would do, and one of them was cleansing lepers. Because in those days, there were many miracles that were still happening. There were certain Pharisees and certain rabbis that could heal. But none of them could heal leprosy. And leprosy is one of those that I think in Scripture, there's only 4 or 5 places where people are ever healed of leprosy. Some, one or two of the prophets were able to heal. There was a king that was healed. Moses' sister-in-law, she was healed of leprosy. There's very, very few counts of people ever being healed of leprosy. It's one of the signs of the Messiah. So this is a really important thing to grasp. In other words, the worst of the worst thing can happen to your life. Christ can come in and heal you. And what had to happen in those days, if you were healed, you had to go before the priests, and the priests were the one that would declare if you healed or not. So for us today, you've got a sickness, you've got HIV, AIDS, God comes and heals you. It's you going to the doctor and the doctor says medically you're actually healed. It's a miracle. They are the ones to define that it's a healing or not. To actually, because we like to claim healings, right? We claim a lot of healings, but no evidence, no actual proof. So what they were saying is that Christ is not just saying you healed. Go show yourselves before the priests so that you may be declared healed. Let's carry on. Listen carefully now. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Christ, shouting, "Praise God." He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. This was a non-believer. This was not a Jew. Jesus asked, "Did I not heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" See, the foreigner did not have the promise of a Christ coming. The foreigner was not waiting for the Christ, for the Messiah. The Jews were waiting. And yet one returns, and he's the foreigner. And Jesus says to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." The NIV says, "made you well," but the better word there is in the King James, "make thee whole." The Greek word there is sozo, which often speaks about salvation. So in the context of what this word actually represents, the wholeness, the healing, it speaks about to preserve, to rescue from natural disasters and afflictions, to save, to keep from harm. Safe or free from disease. I'm just going to read you what I wrote. This passage hints at the fact that Christ offers this leper more than the others. He receives healing, but the Samaritan receives a deeper salvation. His faith has prompted him to return to the feet of Christ in thanksgiving, in gratitude. And he finds more than just the physical healing in his body. Ladies and gentlemen, I hold before us the Church of Jesus Christ. I believe that many of us as the church, all we desire from Christ is our healing. Lord, I just want to be okay. I just want the voices to stop talking. I just want to feel okay. I just want to be happy. And then Christ is good because he's a good father, because Christ is a good savior. And he does it. He comes and touches us and he heals us. And then we go, thank you, Jesus. I'm on with the rest of my life. I'm moving on. And then we put a bumper sticker on the car. Jesus. We put the little fish on. We don't even know what the fish thing means. Does anyone know what that fish sign means that we put on cars? Anyone? It's actually got nothing to do with fish. Did you know that? Ooh. Google. You know, most of us don't know the scripture, but we have Google. Isn't Google beautiful? I don't know, but there it is. Google answers everything. It's taken away even the ability to know the Word of God. See, the Samaritan comes, and he sees he's healed, and he realizes, but the Master's touched me. There's something more. I must return. I must give thanks. I gave a teaching in a place with a lot of students a while back, and something in my spirit grieved me. And I couldn't work out what it was, and I was sitting with this grievance, and it took me 2 months of prayer to solve the problem. Here's the problem. They wanted healing and power, and that's it. That was it. I came and spoke on intercession, and all they wanted to know was, my first question is, how many of you are part of intercession of your church every week? Not one. Not one of them are part of their intercession at their church. So I'm like, what on earth are you doing here? I don't mean it nicely. I'm like, well, that's awesome. I'm glad you're all here. But how can not one of you be part of the intercession of the church? And so that sat in my mind. And then they started coming and asking strange questions. And they had strange ideas. And it just bothered me. And in the end, I got the answer. The answer was, they don't want to surrender. They don't want to come and live with Christ. They don't want to know Christ. They just want a better life. And I was shocked. And I realized we've got a lot of work to do. Which is great in one sec, you know, sometimes you think there's no more work to be done. There's a lot of work to be done. So as a pastor, it keeps me humble. I had a good friend and he was dating this girl. They were dating for quite a while. So this is how you know if the person you're about to marry, if you want to marry this person, gents, if there's any single men here, this is the question you ask the woman after dating a long time. He said to her, I'm really looking forward to being able to suffer with you. Right? Has anyone ever had that? Has anyone ever asked you that? While you guys were dating, most of us here are married. Did your partner sit you down and say, man, I'm really looking forward to those nights when we had those children and we're not going to sleep. We're going to suffer so well together. Can I have an amen? And your partner looks at you, bye-bye. Right? Can we suffer well together? Because all we want is the idyllic, and they lived happily ever after. And the problem is, there is no happy ever after. The fairy tales are a lie. The children aren't here. I can say this. Frozen stays frozen. I'm sorry. There are children here. The Lord forgive me. Hopefully they are strong in Afrikaans and not in English. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You're not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. 1 Corinthians 3, I don't have it up there. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Sad to say, but being a certified believer can sometimes result in spiritual deafness. See, a lot of us, we go like, okay, so what you're saying to me is, I've got to do more. I'm going to have to read more the Bible. Because maybe I'm one of those nine lepers and I miss Christ. So how am I going to fix this? I'm going to read more Bible. And we go into striving. We become religious. Right? Amen? Anyone? Anyone ever open up the Word of God? Amen. Oh Lord, speak to me. And all you hear is the birds outside and the chancer and the neighbors and that guy with the Mustang that lives down the road. It seems to drive every 10 times. And you realize that's just 10 Mustangs that people have done. But there's nothing. Right? Can I do an experiment with us this morning? You all look so end of the year. Come December, come. Come. Ek worry over u, maar come December. Can I do an experiment? Yes? With you? You sure? Okay. We're going to show you a clip. I'm going to show you a clip with no music. And I want you to tell me afterwards what was your experience. Thank you. Meh, whatever. Weird auntie nodding her head. Right? Agreed? Nothing. Okay. The scene is the scene of what happened at Haiti, by the way. So it's quite a few years back, but the destruction of Haiti. And you watched it, and nothing was stirred inside of you. In fact, you're kind of going, December and lunch. December and lunch. Can we play that clip again with music? Thank you. I'll take that as a yes. Can we put it loud? Not too loud, but loud.
Sometimes everything is wrong.
What did you feel now? Who felt touched? Who felt the pain? Uniflace. The doctor got uniflace. When doctors get uniflace, then you must know. How many of you want to help people after watching it? How many of you want, I don't know what the problem is, but I'm the solution. I can do this. Who had that feeling? How many of you feel like, man, I'm undone? Who had a tear in their eye? Who felt moved? How many of our men had to hold it right there? Why? Because of the simple thing of music. Now, this is what I see and I'd like to bring before us. The Holy Spirit is the one that brings that alive. The difference between reading the Word of God and nothing happening, praying and nothing happening, standing in faith and nothing happening, and then the Holy Spirit comes in and it's music. There's no striving when you are watching that and the emotions just start to come. You didn't have to strive to make an emotion. You didn't strive to have to feel the death and the destruction. Something stirred. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our walk with Christ. I hold up before us who is the Holy Spirit. He's the one that makes us alive. It's the difference between when you're watching that guy up in front and he's praising God and he's worshiping, he's down on his knees and there's tears, and you're going, huh? I can't even worry the electric guitar start. I don't get what this is about. That's the difference. And you go through your mind, is this real? Is he really experiencing God? And you go, what's wrong with me? And then you go, I guess the hand out. It's not really. What's happening is that person is being touched by the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, I hold before us that we've been removed ourselves. We've removed the space for God, the Holy of Holies, the Holy Spirit. We've taken that place. We've been foolish. We've run out of oil. There's no more space for God in our lives. He saved us, not because of anything you've done. That's the Bernie version. He saved us, not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to His mercy, His own mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life. Through what? The Holy Spirit. For many of us, we know we're saved, we know Christ, we know what He's done, we believe in the power of the cross, we believe in God, we believe in the Father, we know He's a good Father, but we just can't get into action anything. In my workplace in 1973, I spoke about God once. I once prayed at the workplace, my first day that I was there, Lord, thank you for this job, and that was it. The second time was, thank you, Lord, for the raise. The third time was, why did I not get a raise? The fourth time, why is he getting a raise? The fifth time, thank you, Lord, I've got a new job. We've moved away from the heart of God. We've moved from the way because Christ healed me. That's enough. It's enough. I can go to the priests. I can carry on with my life. Ephesians 4, verse 30, ladies and gentlemen, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed the day of redemption. You got the seal. You got the ring. And we'll speak about the names of the Holy Spirit next time. Another word is the seal. It's the ring of God. Christ wants to invade our life. There is a kingdom of darkness out there. If you don't believe me, look how many people are leaving. And the reason for leaving this country is because it's dark. That's why we're leaving. It's dark. It's dangerous. It means it's dark. When last has God moved in your life? When last has God moved in your small group? When last have you heard a prayer answered? When last have you seen the dead raised? When last have you seen someone healed? When last have you got a word of knowledge? When last have you been able to prophesy, speak life? When last have you had a new tongue? This should be daily for us. But before we talk about the power gifts and the power and moving the Holy Spirit, there has to be space. You need to understand that the Holy Spirit is pure, 100% godly, pure, beautiful, and holy. See, the Holy Spirit, He helps us, He guides us, He teaches us, He speaks, He reveals, He instructs, He testifies of Christ, He comforts us, He calls us, He fills us, He lives in us, He frees us, He renews us, He produces fruit in us, He leads us, He convicts us, He sanctifies us, He strengthens, He prays for us, He prophesies through us, He bears witness of the truth, He brings joy, He brings freedom. He helps us to obey, He empowers us, He unites us, He seals us. These are all the things we as the church struggle with. All those things we ask the Lord for is what the Holy Spirit does. It's who He is. It's like you go when you go to the doctor. Have you ever been to a doctor? Do you notice how they get excited when you say you're not feeling well? It kind of gets this weird smirk. Right? Let's admit it. We go to the doctor not to ask for advice on golf. The only thing that I'll go to advice for Dale outside of being a doctor, oh, there's a lot of stuff, but outside is a guitar. Because there's no one that knows as much about guitars as Dale. It's scary. You kind of, if you want a full like a night, you're bored, you say, Dale, talk to me about guitars. And it'll be a 3-week program. But you go to the doctor to get healed. So who is the Holy Spirit? This is who the Holy Spirit is. If I can just put a few things of what He does, because it's God. And it's quite arrogant to come and say, well, this is who God is, right? And this is all He does, and box Him in there. He does a lot more. There's 33 things that I put up on the board that He does and who He is. Ladies and gentlemen, Proverbs 27, verse 7. NLT explains this the best. A person who is full refuses honey. If you are full of God, nothing will tempt you. No house will be good enough. No car not good enough will tempt you. All the mansions. Anna Clara, Anna Bava, wherever, Alibama, wherever those places, houses are. No Ford Mustang. No Fortuna. If you come from Belleville, apparently I live in Belleville. I want a Fortuna. No Fortuna, no car, no spouse, no children. Nothing will fulfill you if you're full with Christ. No honey will tempt you. But even bitter food, McDonald's, tastes sweet if you're not full. If the Holy Spirit has not taken that place in your life, you'll be tempted. I love the testimony of Dolph this morning. Something bothered him, something irked him. And then the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, brought to life. And immediately he was like, man, it's all good. It's all good. Many years ago, the Lord gave me this vision, and it's one of those visions that's implanted in my spirit. When I close my eyes, I see it. Can we put up that picture of the horseshoe? And it's similar to this. And God showed me this horse. Beautiful horse. And as I said in the beginning, horse often represents the Holy Spirit. And I'm seeing this beautiful horse, and I'm seeing this beautiful town. And it looks like Holland or Brugge. Does anyone know where Brugge is in Belgium? Little cobblestone, old school cobblestone kind of vibe. It's kind of European, beautiful city. And then the Lord shows me how he's got this piece of metal and he's bending it and shaping it. So it looks like this perfect horseshoe. And he takes this bent iron and he puts it on the horse. See, a horse cannot run on cobblestone. Did you know that? It's kind of obvious, right? That's why we put horseshoes on, to protect their feet. And the Lord said, we are the horseshoe. And that we need to take the Holy Spirit into the world. But then the Lord showed me the problem is we don't want to be bent. We don't want to be bent. I don't want to have to change. And so many of us sit with a half bend and then we go, that's enough. So you know who the one helps you through your persecution and through your hard times, through long suffering? It's the Holy Spirit. It's one of his gifts. And I want to say for us that suffered long and those of you that's really going through hard things, I cannot even sympathize enough for what you're going through. I don't know the pain in your life. I don't know how hard it is. I can only tell you about the pains I've gone through and the experiences I've gone through, but I don't know how hard it truly is. But what I do know is if Christ is with you and the Holy Spirit has space, you're going to get through it. Because Christ has never let me down. Never. In my darkest hour, he's never let me down. When I was that leper, he never let me down. Because he is faithful and true. You can do it. And I know it's hard. I watch my little daughter, she's teething, and it is hell on earth. For her, it is hell on earth. No human being does not know pain. And it is normal to run away from pain. It is normal. No one runs to pain. Except for that Irish boxer dude there, the kickfighting, he's just crazy. There's a few crazy people. But no one runs towards pain. You don't put your hand in the door and like people just keep smashing it. And yeah, that's the one right there. Okay, finger gone. Maybe I should stop now. Smack your hand in the door and you immediately pull it away. But we have a helper. We have the Holy Spirit. Now you might look at a person like myself and you just think, well, maybe he's just arrogant. You know, he just goes in and he prays, and if there's demonic stuff, that's my doctor moment. I get excited when there's demonic curses or there's healing that needs to happen, or we need to fast for a month, or we need to raise the dead. I get excited about stuff like that, right? Let me tell you why I get excited about stuff like this. Your boldness in Christ is directly proportionate to your intimacy with Christ. Think about your marriage, for those that are married, or your relationship at home. So I visited my parents this weekend. My brother and them are still there. I don't ask permission to climb in the fridge. My folks have one of those double-decker fridges. You know, it's like this. It's bigger than the doors. I don't know how they got the thing in the house. And you open this thing, and you have to walk back. It's like one of these things, you know. And then there's like, no! And nothing. A kraya and this and that and this and that, like food, but nothing like, you know, us men. You know, something I need to consume now. There's none of that, normally. But the point is, I don't have to ask permission because I've got relationship. Now, if I had to come into your house and come and visit, you know, pastoor, kom kuier, huisbesoek, and I had to walk in and give you a high five and walk to your fridge and open up your fridge, you'll never invite me back. You'll go, what on earth is wrong with that pastor? Honey, shofar, for bay. I'll just take stuff out the fridge. It's weird. You know what I love about this church? We'll be having intercession night, and people will, like, just walk towards them, start making coffee, open up the fridge. Like, kids come running in. There's always sweets. Don't say that. In the cupboards, they help themselves. But why? I'm going, like, what's wrong with all of you? Like, we're going to pray now. This is prayer time. Why? Because you feel at home, because there's intimacy. That's why we can have boldness. It is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that reveals Christ. Can we all stand? I want to close with what the writer of Corinthians says here. In the closing of his letter, isn't this beautiful? Thanks, Glenn. Isn't this beautiful? The grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That's my prayer for us this week, this month, this year, and very definitely for next year. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of us. Lord, this morning we just come before you, before the Holy of Holies, the Holy Spirit. We come and repent of quenching you, and come and repent of closing the door to you. We come and repent of not giving you space. We pray, Holy Spirit, come and commune with us again. Come and make Scripture alive to us again. Come and speak to us again. Come and show us Christ again. Come and bring us hope. Not only in our own lives, but for those around us. Come and give us conviction. Holy Spirit, for every hand raised, for everyone that's responded, come and meet us. Come and speak to us. Come and take that space again. For those of us who never had that space, come and take that space. We give you that space. And we command that the sound starts, the ears open, and that we can hear in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.